Take your Bibles, please, turn to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. 1 Peter, chapter 1, we'll read verses 13 through 19 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 13 through 19. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, and let's finish on verse 19 together, ready? But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And let's pray, Father, you've been so good to us. It's obvious your Holy Spirit's presence is here. Father, our folks sure do enjoy church. What a wonderful thing it is to hear them sing praises back to you for what you've done for us. And God, to hear these hundreds of people read your word out loud back to you, even more incredible. Father, in just a moment, though, our preacher will come and preach about that precious blood, that blood that's given us eternal life and eternal security. Now, Father, please fill him with your power so that we can go out and reach others in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
This morning I started a sermon that I will conclude this evening, though there will never be a conclusion or enough attention given to this subject, that is called Precious Blood. I said this morning. I will repeat myself a little this evening to bring some of you back up to date as to where we left off today. But anytime I preach on the blood of Jesus Christ, I approach it with great reverence. It's one of those subjects that's extremely holy to me. The whole Bible is holy to me. There are certain subjects that I just get a little shaky about. I reverence the subject. It does something very special in my heart, in my soul, and in my life. The blood of Jesus Christ is a subject just like that. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's where I get my title, Precious Blood. And we sing the song, What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. That precious flow, that precious blood. We sing about it, we talk about it, but I wonder if we have ever really stopped to examine it. Do we really realize how precious that blood is? I told you this morning that the blood is so precious that when God instructed Noah and his descendants, he said, you can eat what you want, but just make sure that you don't eat blood, don't drink blood. Even to the point that if an animal had been strangled, God had said, I'd rather you not eat that because the blood was in it. See, blood is precious. Blood is valuable to God. We find the blood of bulls and goats was valuable because the blood of a bull and the blood of a goat pictured the blood that Jesus would shed. The blood of a lamb was valuable. Why? It pictured the blood of the crucified lamb, Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that even the shedding of man's blood was a serious offense. And of course it was serious because of the loss of life, but it was the shedding of the blood that was very serious to God because man's blood is a precious thing. Your blood is precious to you. My blood is precious to me. It is because of blood we live. There's life in the blood. And there is life in the blood of Jesus Christ. And we have a spiritual life because of the blood of Christ. We have a physical life because of the blood that flows through your veins. We even found, as we studied Acts chapter 20, verse 28, it says, Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The blood that flowed through the veins of Jesus was the blood of God Himself. And that wasn't just any blood. That was precious blood. That was the blood of Jesus Christ, which was the blood of God. The blood of Christ is a very practical subject. If you can just take enough time to look at it and see what God provides. But it's a holy subject. This morning I gave you 5 or 6 points I'll briefly review. I said to you that the precious blood of Christ has redeeming power. It is, we're saved by the blood of the crucified one. Man had fallen into sin and God wanted to restore him. It had to be done by blood. It had to be done by perfect blood. And Jesus Christ stepped up. He shed his blood for you and I and paid our sin debt for us. This morning, by the time we concluded the service, many people had trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. We watched the blood at work in this service today. We watch people get redeemed. A sweet story. I'll not mention names that go along with the story, but we had a visitor from out of town, and it was a grown son of one of our church members, and Mama had been praying, and the family had been praying that somehow, while he was here for a couple of days, that he would get born again. And the sermon was preached, and the invitation started, and during the invitation, another one of our fine members leaned over and began to share the gospel with that son. And a matter of a few minutes, that grown son that people had prayed for had bowed his head and closed his eyes and received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Though he did not walk the aisle and make public his salvation, he did walk the aisle of heaven and receive the blood of Jesus Christ. It had been applied to his account. And as of this morning, that boy, 20, 21 years of age, is now born again because of the redeeming power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God. Our salvation was not purchased on credit. Oh no, paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. Not only do we see the redeeming power of the blood, we see that that precious blood provided for us atonement. I explained the word atonement to you quite simply today, at one-ment. It made it so that we could be with God. It says in Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We all need to understand what a privilege it is. The blood of Christ is what makes it so we can be close to God. And we need to be close to God. You need to be close to God. And we were distanced from God, and the blood of Christ made it so we could be close to Him. Thirdly, that precious blood of Christ cleanses us. The Bible says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I love that word all. It cleanseth us from all sin. Whatever that sin is, it can be cleansed and it can be washed away. We go back to the song, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We found out this morning, number 4, that precious blood, it preserves us. And we went to the Old Testament story of the Passover lamb and the blood being placed on the doorpost of every house. The death angel passed through the land and looked down and was looking for every household that had some blood of a lamb applied to the doorpost. And if the blood was applied as God instructed, that household was spared of death. And those that did not apply the blood, the firstborn child died. And I'm sure those firstborn children that were spared as a result of the blood, they said, Daddy, why is it? Why am I alive? And why are there some others that are dead? And Dad was able to say, you were preserved because of the blood of the Lamb. And let me tell you something, you and I are born again and preserved eternally because of the blood of the Lamb. And may I add, once you get saved by the blood, you're always saved by the blood. You're preserved. Did you know something? With the blood of Christ, they use no blood thinner. It's thick enough to hold you all the way through. You don't have to worry about a blood disease with Jesus. It's pure blood. It's holy blood. It's lasting blood. And once you trust Christ as your Savior and the blood of Christ is applied, nothing can erase it. It's there forever. And don't you worry. He's got you covered. You're covered by the blood all the way through until we get to heaven. We found out this morning that precious blood speaks for us. We found in Genesis chapter 4, verse number 10, when Cain slew Abel, that the blood of Abel spake to God. It cried out to God. And in Hebrews 12, 24, it tells us that the blood of Christ speaketh to us even better things than the blood of Abel spoke. It is the blood of Christ. I believe that the blood of Christ speaks up for us. And the devil would say, I want to take them to hell. The blood of Christ steps up and says, they're born again. I can stand it and tell you that they're born. They're covered by me. And he speaks up for us. And thank God that he does. Thank God that he does. Speaking. Do you know how you can keep your teeth? There's a way to do it. Number one. Brush three times a day after every meal. If you want to keep your teeth, brush three times a day after every meal. Number two, see a dentist regularly. And number three, keep your nose out of somebody else's business. And probably you will keep your teeth so you can speak. Well, that's where we left off. But let me add something to that for this evening. Let me say that... Number one, this evening, the precious blood of Christ. Oh, no, this morning, I mentioned this. The blood of Christ is that moves the heart of men. Remember I told you how powerful it is. You get to preaching on the blood and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and it moves men. It quietens men. It melts the heart. And so that's powerful blood. This evening, may I say this. Number one, the precious blood of Christ enables us to change our lives. The blood of Christ is powerful. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, at the beginning of it, it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, and there's some words in between, but it finishes out, and it says, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Here we see service to God attached to the blood of Jesus Christ. You know something? If the blood of Christ can change our future to heaven, don't you think that it could change our present to living right? The blood of Christ can enable you and empower you to change your life. Let's see. I need a songbook, Brother Nash. Somebody got one back there. Here we go. There's a song in here that we sing so often. I think it's on page number 50 here. There's power in the blood. Boy, what a dynamic song. You've heard it before. But I like verse number 2. It says, would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood. You know something? If you would like to overcome in your life, if you would like to change your life, the blood can enable you to change your life. You see, the blood changed your final destiny. You were on your way to hell before you got saved. The blood was applied to your account. Now you're on your way to heaven. Something's changed there. But wait a minute. Not only did your final destiny change, your ability to change your entire life is enabled by the blood of Jesus Christ. It says here that blood can purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. We sing the song, Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. You know something? You can have victory not only over hell to go to heaven, but you can have victory in this life to serve God because of the mighty, powerful blood of Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of the story of a man they called the Maniac of Gadara. He was a wicked man, a vile man, a vicious man, dirty, mongrel of a man, filthy, dirty. The Bible says running naked in a graveyard, in the tombs. They had tried to bind him with ropes and with fetters and with chains. And he was so powerful and so wicked and so mean, he would break them asunder, frothing at the mouth and snarling. And the Bible says howling and screaming at night and scaring people. And one day he met Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he got born again, and the next thing you know, he's cleaned up, and he's clothed, and he's in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. And when he got home, had his wife or his family said, what in the world happened to you? I'll tell you what he could have done. He could have said, let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what can wash away my sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What has made me whole again, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow, he said to his wife and kids. that's made me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. It was that precious blood that not only saved the maniac of Gadara, but empowered him to change his life. There's a story you know of the Apostle Paul. He was very rude and very unkind and actually put Christians to death. One day, the Apostle Paul met Jesus Christ, and when he got saved, his life turned around. He went from persecuting Christ and Christians to preaching Christ and preaching for the sake of Christians. And had somebody met him, they said, "Paul, what happened to you?" And he could have sang, "Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus." Hey, you want to become a good Christian? If you're saved and you'd like to become a good Christian, I've got good news for you. The same power that saved you will empower you to clean you up so you can serve God. Say, "Brother Owens, I just don't have the strength to clean up my life." Yes, you do. And it's power in the blood of Jesus. There is power, wonder-working power. In the precious blood of the Lamb, you can get rid of that passion and that pride. And the blood of Jesus Christ can give you victory tonight. Oh, what blood. It's a blood that enables us to change our lives. That precious blood not only will help us to change our life, it will sanctify us. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13, the Bible says, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh." Here the Bible is talking about the purifying and the sanctifying of our flesh. A lot of ways of describing that word, sanctification. It can become a little confusing, but let me make it very simple. When God sanctifies something, He's setting it apart for service. It's leaving something negative to go to something positive, and it is then usable by God. That piano over there that Mrs. Doss so wonderfully plays, that piano right there has been sanctified. You say, "How is that?" That piano doesn't play any honky-tonk music. Doesn't play any rock and roll music or country music or contemporary Christian music. Hey, that's the old time religion piano right there. It's sanctified. It's set apart. Hey, you ever sneak in this building and you go to wanting to play some Johnny Cash or Trash or whatever his name is music? Don't you go over there on that piano. That's sanctified. It's set apart for service. God intended that piano to do something special. And just so you know, God intended you to do something special. That blood that sanctified you, it set you apart both for heaven and to live a certain way in this life. Every Christian here has been set apart for His service. And His blood is what enables, and His blood is what is responsible for your sanctification. The blood of Jesus Christ has assigned every one of you to a certain service, and then will empower you to accomplish that task. Hey, you want to know something that could motivate you to straighten your life up so you could serve God? Think of the blood of Jesus Christ. Every person in this building was saved to serve God. Not saved to watch everybody else serve. Saved to serve God. He saved you. He sanctified you. Set you apart so you could be used of God. And there's something you're supposed to do for Him. He said, "How can I do that?" You can do it through the power of the blood of the Lamb. That blood here in Hebrews 9:13, it says it sanctifies us. It sets us apart. We'll go to heaven someday. And it sets you apart because there's a way you are to live and something you're to do for God. And so that precious blood, it enables us to change our life. It sets us apart for service. It pulls us away from certain things and places us in a position where we can be used by God. And then that precious blood of Christ opens up heaven to us. It opened up heaven. Hebrews 9:12, it says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." There was in the Old Testament temple a place called the Holy of Holies. It was a little room. It had a veil the best way to describe that veil, it was a very thick kind of a cloth, if you will. That veil was like the door. It separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple. The priest would go into the Holy of Holies, but always having blood involved and sprinkled. And that blood was a picture of the covering of sin. As we sing, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." The Bible teaches us that that priest went in to represent us, and he went in for the forgiving of sin. The Bible says that when Jesus Christ died for us and shed his blood, the Bible says that veil was rent in twain. What did it mean? You see, up until then, only one could go in to that place called the Holy of Holies and meet God. When the veil was rent in twain, it meant that that cloth had been torn in half, opening up the Holy of Holies to every born-again believer that's got the blood. Do you realize something? Nobody could get to God until that blood was properly shed by Jesus Christ. And now you and I have access to God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. See, he became our high priest, and he took care of this issue of the blood forever. Never would anyone dare approach God with any type of boldness, but the only way we could is if we pleaded the blood. Now we can go to God. And it is because Jesus Christ in the shedding of his blood opened up heaven, so you and I have access to God. If God asks you why you feel like you have the right to come to him and pour out your heart and be in his presence, all you have to do is say, "God, it's all because of the blood." He'll say, "Come on in. Come on in. You're welcome here. You have the right answer." That blood opened up heaven. You are welcome into the Holy of Holies with God. You're welcome to be in his presence. If you want to come to this altar tonight, fall on your face, and in your heart open up to God and be in his presence at that very moment, you can be there. Nothing is stopping you. Why? Why do you have that access to God? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, our high priest, and the veil was rent in twain. It was moved out of the way because finally the perfect blood was shed and it was applied, and now heaven is available. Hey, you can thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. It made God available to all of us. The blood of Jesus Christ enables us to change our lives. It sanctifies us or sets us apart for service. The blood of Jesus Christ opens up heaven to all of us. Next, the blood of Jesus Christ purges our consciences, or it cleanses our consciences, or it cuts off certain parts of the conscience that would hinder us. Listen to this. Hebrews 9:14, again, the Bible says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." You know what the Bible says here? It is the blood of Christ that fixes up your conscience, so after salvation you feel like you could get something done for good and for God. You know, a bad conscience can get you down. The blood of Christ is that element that removes the hindering our memory of our worthlessness before Christ. I'll tell you something. Before you get saved, you can feel like a pretty big scumball. Boy, people that are unsaved feel like God should never use me. God would have no purpose for me. I'm rotten to the core. It's an amazing thing that at salvation, he can set your feet upon a rock. That blood comes in, purges your conscience, and suddenly you begin to feel like, hey, maybe I could do something for God. Hey, maybe God could use me. You can thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ, or your conscience would drive you right in the ground. That old conscience, it would get you down and throw up in your face all the wrong that you've done. But somehow, the Bible says that the blood of Christ purges that conscience. Thank God for the blood, because it will overcome my conscience, which could haunt me with my past and haunt me with my past failures. The blood purges your conscience so you can go on and serve Him. Blood neutralizes the conscience that would get you down. Without the overcoming power of the blood, your conscience would run you in the ground and you'd never do anything for God. Our conscience speaks out against us and speaks of our uselessness, but the blood speaks up for us and how useful we could be for God. How in the world could the Apostle Paul do anything great for God? How in the world, when he was in the process of going down in history, a man named Saul, his name was later changed to Paul, he persecuted Christians. He murdered Christians. Who knows how wicked and vile and vicious he was toward Christians? He got saved. Now, right after his salvation, had he not had the blood of Christ applied, I wonder, could he ever get over that past life? Could he ever get over the fact that he had murdered and abused and persecuted? Will he ever do anything great for God? I've got good news for you. When he got saved, the blood of Christ moved in. It purged his conscience. It said, all right, that's behind you. Heaven's in front of you. Now get out there and serve God. Go make something of yourself. Go do something great for God. Thank God that the blood of Christ purges our conscience. I don't know that God ever wants us to forget those things that we did against Him entirely. They ought to be there for our learning, but I can assure you this. He doesn't want us to get us down so we don't serve Him. He doesn't want our past failures to keep us from having some present successes. And you can thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ, because when you come down here, get on your face and say, God, I'm sorry, I'm going to try again. There's a healing balm of Gilead that comes, and you get a little medicine on that conscience, and you get up off your knees and say, you know something? I think I'll try again. Oh, the healing that is in that blood for the conscience of man. Not only does that precious blood purge our consciences, not only did it open up heaven so we have access to God, not only does it sanctify or set us apart, it gives us the power to change our lives, but it also gives us boldness. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 19, the Bible says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Here the Bible talks about the boldness that the blood of Jesus Christ can give. I'll tell you, the boldness of the blood of Christ, it's powerful. It's powerful. The blood of Jesus Christ is quite powerful. Hey, you can come boldly to the throne of grace. You know what that means? You can walk right in to the presence of God, fall right on your face, and begin to tell God the things that you request of Him with boldness. With boldness. Can you imagine? Try this. Can you imagine having the courage to walk right into the White House, walk right into President Bush's office, walk right in, sit right down, and go to talking? You say, I could never do that. You can do it with God. You can do it with God. Why? Because we have boldness. And from where does that boldness come? It comes from a power that's in the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood of Christ makes you a part of the family of God. I'll tell you who can walk in and talk to the president. His wife. His kids. Your kids, they just walk right in. I was in my office tonight. I was studying. And there was a little knock on my door. Usually, if I'm studying, I ignore your knock because I've got something on my mind. And my door popped open. I looked up to see which one of you knuckleheads was walking right into my office without being invited. But it was my son. Hey, Dad, what are you doing? Got anything to drink? Come on in, son. Guess what? You know what you're looking at? You're looking at a son of God. I can walk right into God and I can be bold. Well, what right do you have to walk right into the throne room of God? The blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. I have boldness to pray. I have the boldness to approach God and ask Him for what I need. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ has enabled me to do that. I have boldness to witness. We have boldness through that blood. Hey, somehow the precious blood of Christ influences us and it empowers us. Go ahead and tell somebody about Jesus Christ and say, I'd be afraid. You just start mentioning the blood of Jesus Christ. That can do away with some of your fears. Hey, you need boldness in your preaching? Claim the blood of Jesus Christ. You need boldness in your life to live a holy life? Claim the blood of Jesus Christ. Hey, you've got the blood of Jesus Christ. Because there's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. That boldness comes to us from God. And then, finally this evening, that precious blood of Christ provides power to overcome. It gives us an overcoming power. In Revelation 12:11 it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. You know what overcomes Satan? Blood. The blood of the Lamb. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. We have an overcoming power through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hey, what are your vices this evening? If you're a born-again Christian, you don't get saved by changing your life. You get saved by receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But after you get saved, you ought to straighten your life up. You ought to change your life. You ought to become like Him and more like Him every week of our life. You've got some vices. You've got some things that are holding you back. Let me recommend something to you. The blood of Jesus Christ is available to help you, and it will overcome. The blood of Christ is an overcoming blood. You say, Brother Owens, I feel like I'm chained to a bottle. I'm having a hard time kicking the habit. I drink. I booze it up a little bit. You can overcome. Say, how can I overcome? Through the blood of the Lamb. Through the blood of the Lamb. You say, I've got a habit. I smoke and it's ruining my health. And what am I going to do? You can overcome by the blood of the Lamb. You say, I feel addicted to pornography. And I'll tell you, one of the filthiest, most vile things on our market today. What a terrible addiction. Bad of pornography. If you say, Brother Owens, I just somehow my immorality is out of hand and I'm having a tough time with it. You can overcome that. You can overcome your drugs. You can overcome your alcohol and your cigarettes and your immorality. Say, how am I going to do it? It's hard to do. You don't have to do it by yourself. You can do it by the power of the blood of the Lamb. That is how Satan is going to be overcome. That's what kept you from going to hell. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's powerful blood. It's able blood. It's strong blood, and it can do whatever needs to be done in your life. You can overcome. You can overcome your wicked thought life. That part of you that nobody sees. Oh, you dress like a fundamentalist and act like a fundamentalist and you talk like a fundamentalist and you carry a fundamentalist Bible. Hey, but what's going on inside you? You talk about a battlefield, the battlefield of the mind. What goes on? What's going on in the private chambers of your heart and in your mind? What is it you struggle with? What thoughts just keep haunting you and coming back to you? And you know you should not have those thoughts. Say, Brother Owens, I'm having a hard time overcoming this. What's in my brain? I've pumped some things in there, some filthy music and filthy pictures and filthy dreams and thoughts. And what am I going to do? Overcome, you say. How am I going to overcome? By the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of the Lamb. You can overcome your pride. How? By the blood of the Lamb. You can overcome your tongue. It will be a big job for the blood, but I think the blood can handle it. You can overcome your gossip and your lying and your backbiting. You can overcome it. How? By the blood of the Lamb. You can overcome your fears. How? By the blood of the Lamb. You can overcome Satan's influence in your life. How are you going to do it? By the blood and the power that's in that blood. Precious blood. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What's precious about it? It's precious because it redeemed us. It saved us. It's precious because it made us one with God and made God available to us. It's precious because it cleanses us from all our sins. It's precious because it not only saves us, it keeps us, it preserves us. It's precious because it speaks for us. It's precious because it melts and moves the heart of men. It's precious because it enables us to change our lives. It's precious because it sets us apart for service to God. It's precious because it opened up heaven so that we might enter in. It's precious because it helps us to deal with our consciences so we feel like we can go on and do something productive with our life. It's precious because it gives us boldness. It's precious because it gives us power to overcome. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious. Oh, precious. Oh, precious. Oh, precious is the flow. Oh, precious. Precious blood. Let's make sure that we keep the blood precious. You know something? They're wanting to write all their new Bibles. We don't need to rewrite the Bible. We need to reread the one we have. They're wanting to rewrite Bibles. They say, well, we don't want all that blood in there. It's gory. They're full of prunes. Yeah, it's gory. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed. Absolutely. Yes, His blood was shed. If they want to change something, why don't they shut all the blood down that's being spilt in Hollywood on all their filthy shows? They want to make new songbooks that do not include the blood. Well, maybe we ought to get some of the demonic music out off the market that's all about drinking people blood and the satanic worship and all the junk that goes along with it. But the blood of Jesus Christ, that's pure. It's pure. It's precious. Oh, precious. Let's be a church that stands for the blood. And to do so, it's not just to say amen. It's to live the practicality of what that blood stands for. Let's live it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.